I once heard a story about a church where the pastor and the music minister didn't get along. This has nothing to do with us, Philip. All right, okay. This is a story I heard from the pastor. All right. It happens from time to time as people don't get along. And here's how that story goes. You know, it's one thing not to get along with one another, but that reality entered into the worship service. You know, try to keep it out of the worship service as two leaders of the church. But as the story is told, as time went by, that feuding, it spilled over into the service, and it became obvious. And the congregation was the one who really suffered for it. And that's a shame when that happens. Here's what happened. The first week, the pastor got up knowing that he was not getting along with the music minister, and the music minister the same, and the congregation had a pretty good inkling about it, you know. Leaders of the church and congregational members, it's sort of like a relationship where the children always know when the parents aren't getting along, and same goes with church staffing. The first week, the pastor got up and preached a sermon about commitment. And the tradition of that church was that the music minister would always get up, the pastor not knowing what was going to be sung, but the music minister would get up and sing a solo. Okay? So the first week, the pastor preached a pretty good sermon on commitment. And after the sermon, the music minister got up and sang that solo, "I Shall Not Be Moved." Well, the pastor thought that was a little awkward. The second week came, second Sunday came. The pastor preached on tithing. Good sermon. Gladly give. Give from your heart. Give as we are able. And the music minister got up after the sermon and sang that solo, "Jesus Paid It All." Well, this wasn't helping the pastor at all. Third week, pastor preached on gossiping. Watch our tongues, each one of us. After the sermon, the music minister got up and sang, "I love to tell the story." Well, the pastor about had it at this point, all right? With all this going on, the pastor became disgusted over the situation. And the following Sunday, the pastor told the congregation he was considering resigning his call. And the music minister got up and sang, "Oh, why not tonight?" As it came to pass, the pastor did resign that following Sunday during the sermon and informed the congregation, "It was Jesus who brought me here, and it's Jesus who's taken me away." And the music minister got up and sang, "What a friend we have in Jesus!" Is there anyone that you've got trouble with these days? Is there anyone you disagree with? Are there times in which this conflict gets to such a point, something's got to give, something should give, rather than just people facing off against each other? After hearing the words of Christ this morning in the gospel, of course we have trouble with others. And they, guess what? They've got trouble with you and me too. We're human beings. And what Jesus has to share with us today and what we hear from the rest of Scripture, I love that reading from Romans as well. It calls us back to a time of love, our call to love, because conflict will happen. And guess what? It happens in the church from time to time as well. I've had three previous churches. I understand. Everybody in Emmanuel gets along, though. So I'm loving where I am, okay? So today, Jesus is speaking to the church. He's speaking to his brothers and sisters. He's speaking to those who have the same foundation. I must say my first observation ever of conflict in church, I was about 10 or 11 years old. It was a church much smaller than Bethlehem, and this was in Alabama. There are Lutherans in Alabama. There's four of them still left. And the congregation I grew up in, it was pretty much laid out like the nave here in Bethlehem, not as long. Center aisle, side aisles. Sorry, we didn't have this. I'm glad we have it. And so I witnessed as a child, during the passing of the peace, two men who my dad said to me once, "How can I tell you, Al? They just don't get along." During the passing of the peace, the aisles weren't as wide as these aisles. They would turn their backs to each other and make their way down the aisle to continue passing the peace so they didn't have to face each other. And as a child, I knew something's wrong with this. As we are to face each other, many, many years pre-COVID, of course, but, you know, there's ways in which we pass the peace, but love is expressed in many ways for one another. But I knew there was a problem, and the children are watching. The children are watching, and they're listening. I think there are many positive ways to get at conflict. Conflict is going to happen, and Jesus wants to preach and teach about conflict. But unfortunately, too many times, conflict goes unresolved. We're scared to speak about such differences that we have with one another, that we might offend ourselves or the other person. When in fact, we of all people as Christians are called to be together with the faith that we have in a relationship where we forgive, a relationship in which we learn from one another, a relationship in which we know we're not always right, neither is the other person. Jesus gets right at this. A story is once told about a pastor, Pastor Barbara Brockhoff. She told the story about a person who set this huge sign up in his front yard. And the sign in the front yard, it was a sandwich board sign, if you know what I mean. Large sign with letters on it, with sayings on it. And it stood on the top of some ugly piles of aluminum. You know what aluminum will do to your grass if you just sort of lay it all over your grass and you put this huge, heavy sign on it? And he put a light on the sign at night, too, so that when people drove by his house, they could read it. He wanted to make sure everybody knew what was on that sign. You could see it for miles. And really, the town started to be known for what this individual was doing in his front yard with this sign. And the sign simply read, "This aluminum with a 30-year guarantee is no good." Now, I'm not going to name the company of the aluminum. That's not fair. It's been many years ago this story was told. But he wanted everybody to know. But other than this ugly sign that he had, his house was painted beautifully. When he mowed, he made sure that you could see those little marks from the tires, that he ran it right into the other marks. It was perfect. He manicured that yard like no other yard. He had flowers that were blooming year-round against the house, and no weeds could be found in those flowers as well. Gorgeous flowers. But all the beauty and all the neatness was marred by that sign that cluttered the whole place. Yeah, he had beef with some aluminum company, and he wanted to get even. So holding a grudge year after year, He would ruin his own landscape in order to declare his displeasure. How sad. How sad. And when we apply that to our lives, how sometimes in the middle of our lives we plant that sign. When Jesus says, let that go, push that sign aside, give that sign over to me, and approach one another in a new and loving way. Show your humility, as Scripture reminds us today. Because unresolved conflict, what does it do? It just brings about unneeded pain. It might be within our job. Where else do we see unresolved conflict? Relationships in our homes. Pain that robs us of our peace and mind. So what does Jesus say about it? First, notice what Jesus doesn't say about it. I think sometimes when we read this part of Matthew, at least I get it all wrong from the very beginning. Jesus does not say, if you and your friend disagree on something, that's not where he goes. That's not what he says. We're used to disagreeing about things. No, Jesus said, if your brother or sister sins against you. That's a very different beginning. We know this feeling. Others know it too by the way we've treated them. If your brother or sister sins against you, in this scenario, we're the injured party. It's a very different start to this what Jesus shares. Our friend has done something to us. So what's our typical response? My friend sinned against me. Why should I go to him or her? That's our typical response. Very human. Let them come to me first. It's what I catch myself saying all the time. Sometimes our greatest enemy in resolving conflict is this pride we have. There's good pride, but there's a lot of pride out there that's just getting in the way. You know, sooner or later, we're going to need to ask the questions, what's more important? Is it winning a battle or is it preserving a relationship? Are we committed to needing to be right? Think about the last time you just needed to be right. Don't confuse me with the facts. I need to be right. Or are we committed to preserving and improving our relationships with one another? Jesus today tells us this. Take the initiative. It's not easy. A lot of what Jesus has to tell us is not easy. Take the initiative. It might be someone in our family. It might be someone at work. It might be someone in this fellowship. Look beyond your own pride. Even look beyond the immediate problem. And imagine what a healed relationship, imagine what a wholesome relationship with that person would be like, and then take the initiative. Jesus took the initiative with you and me. It is so gospel-centered as to what Jesus has to say that he takes it upon his life for us before we could even respond. In 1 John we read, we love because Christ first loved us. And Jesus even goes on to say, you didn't choose me. I chose you. That's the perfect love that has come our way. God's love is the greatest example of taking the initiative. Christ's sacrifice is the supreme example of forgiveness. Some time ago, I heard about a certain town in Minnesota. Who's originally from Minnesota?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're sure? You betcha. Yeah, okay. There's a certain town in Minnesota that encountered conflict. And when the town got started, they didn't have a name for the town. You might, if you're from Minnesota, you might know this story. Tell it better than I can. But the community, they said, let's get together. Let's name this town. Every town's got a name. Let's name it. Well, they all got together, and guess what? They couldn't agree. They had a lot of different ideas as to what to call the town. And as the meeting went along, it became heated. Because once you name the town, that's going to be the name of the town from here on out. Argumentative, big time. It got so hot at that meeting, the snow outside melted. No, that's not in my notes. One man got up. He was so heated, so frustrated. He stood up and he pounded his fist on the table and he said, let us have harmony. And the people looked at him and they said, let's have harmony. Who knows where Harmony, Minnesota is? Yeah. So it's on the Iowa border, right? It's really far, far south, right? Yeah. Oh. They seized the idea. They named the town Harmony. And harmony is a wonderful thing to have in a community, in a family, especially a church. What we're called to be. And if harmony is to take place, then you and I, guess what? We're going to need to take the initiative. Take the initiative to move forward. Take the initiative when times do become tense. When you get two people together, you'll get three different ideas going on in that conversation. Just the way it works. To take the initiative, because the first initiative taken for you is from God. The harmony of forgiveness is ours in Christ Jesus. Seize it. Take it. Receive it. Use it. So why don't we take the initiative? As we spread the good word, God's word, with all.